Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Man on the Mic podcast, hosted by Jeffrey Mann. This podcast is dedicated to honest discussions that inspire, connect, and bring out the best in our guests. Now let's get started with the show. Here's your host, Jeffrey Mann.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Man on the Mic. I'm here with my man, Ruben. I'm going to let him introduce himself real quick, and then we'll jump into the episode.
Let's do it. Well, my name is Ruben Bradshaw, like Jeff just said. I don't know. I'm grew up in Alpine, Utah my whole life. I'm from I went to Lone Peak. I'm 22 years old. I'm a young entrepreneur, up and coming. I run a podcast called We're Oblivious. I do social media to help promote and market that podcast and the whole movement of what I'm trying to do. I'm also running a small little startup with a friend where BYU is actually involved helping us get that going. And so I've got a really hectic, crazy life. I'm building out a van right now. But yeah, got a lot going. God-loving guy over here and just pushing for whatever I can.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you again for joining.
Absolutely.
I think I want to dive in initially to your podcast.
Yeah, let's do it.
I guess the why and the what behind it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, so my podcast is called We're Oblivious. The reason I called it We're Oblivious is actually comes from a time on my mission. So I served a year in Arkansas and then a year in Bulgaria. But in my time in both those different missions, I saw such a variety of different cultures and religions of different people. And that like broad spectrum of different kinds of people just really inspired me. And I saw so much beauty in all of their different thoughts and beliefs and their belief systems. And I came to a big realization that me, growing up my whole life here in Utah, doing everything I was supposed to, you know, went on a mission, did everything I was supposed to. And getting out there, I was told my whole life to believe and think a certain way. And then I got out there and I was like, wow, who am I to tell like all these people that they're right or they're wrong?
Yeah.
Like, look at the beauty that's in their religion, in their culture, and what they have and what they stand for. And there's so much that I can take from them and apply to my own life. And so when I started kind of opening up my mind a little bit more to like seeing other people and their views and perspectives, it really started opening me up. And I was like, wow, dude, I can learn so much more from these people. And I am so oblivious to everyone else and everyone else's perspectives like all around me. And right now in this time and age, there's so much segregation going on in the world between race, culture, religion, gender, everything. And I simply just think that we can solve all of that if people just simply open their mouths.
Yeah.
Like, I've been going out on the streets and I've been interviewing people on the streets, and I've had such an amazing time opening up people's mouths, opening up my own mouth and hearing people's perspectives, hearing the way that people think. And it's such a beautiful thing because you can learn so much more about it and about God and what God has in store for you by just simply talking to these other people. They go through their own experiences and they go through their own life, and they gain so much wisdom in the process as much as you do.
Yeah.
They're just on a different part of the path that you're on. And so you just got to learn from them and you can apply all those different things to them. For me, like a big thing in the gospel of Jesus Christ is like when Jesus Christ came down to the earth, a big thing that he was doing is he was calling out a lot of religions when he came here.
Yeah.
He was like, you guys are all missing the mark. And all these religions were all really adding a lot of things onto it and a lot of things onto what they were trying to do. But there's something that I think that we can gain from the perspective of Jesus Christ when he came down is he kind of did things a little bit different.
Yeah.
He came down and he was like, I'm going to learn from all these different churches, from all these different priests, and I'm going to apply. I'm going to read the scriptures and I'm going to talk to my Heavenly Father. I'm going to read the scriptures, talk to these priests and pastors and everybody. And then I'm going to go up in the mount and I'm going to go pray and meditate on these things and I'm going to learn and I'm going to gain my own wisdom. And I think there's a lot of power that comes from that. I think for ourselves, we can do the exact same thing. I think like simply, for example, the Muslims are amazing, devout followers of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Same with the Buddhists. The Buddhists are incredible at meditating. And I feel like meditation has become such a big practice in my life.
Oh yeah.
And I learned so much just by simply going to them, going to their books, going to people who are Buddhists, so I can gain a bigger testimony of what it means to connect with God,
yeah,
between me and God. Instead of going to somebody else to find God, I'm going to go straight to the source. I'm going to find God. I'm going to find truth on my own. I'm going to go learn from everybody, take what I can, and go to the source and ask what's true. Wow. And so that's a big thing for my podcast, is I really want to go out. I want to talk to everyone. I want to talk to anyone. I want people to open up their mouths. I want people to open up their ears and hear their different perspectives and hear what people have to say, no matter who they are, because everyone's got different experiences, different belief systems, and there's so much to be learned from.
That's huge. I think I was just talking to a buddy on my podcast about, I was like, I feel like for me, I've always struggled on fast Sundays, when you have to fast for the few little hours that we do.
Right.
And you can smell the food in the crock pot cooking.
Right.
And I'm like, and I look at, you know, how long Muslims fast. I'm like,
right.
What we're doing is nothing.
Right.
But we complain, or we give in and everything.
Exactly.
And so it's interesting to study these other religions and see their dedication.
100%.
And I never have before, but I've recently been doing a lot of like meditation and trying to get into a calming state. I mean, I play basketball once or twice a week.
Right.
And I'm the first person that will fight, get into arguments. And so one of my buddies is like, do a meditation before, put yourself into a calm state.
Right.
And it just changes the way you interact with people and the way you go into situations.
100%.
I'm curious, because you're 22.
Mm-hmm.
And from Alpine, Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And so where did this, I guess, thought process come from? Because there's a lot of people who are stuck in the Utah bubble, or the Utah culture, where they don't meet people who look different. They don't meet people from different religions, and they're comfortable in that normality.
Right.
Where did this, I guess, mindset or this want to go out and just connect with other and different people?
That's a good question. I like to blame it on a few different things, but I don't know specifically which one it would be. But for me, so I was actually born in the UK originally. And so already I kind of come from a little bit of a different background. My family and people I'm surrounded by already kind of see things a little bit different. And as we came over here, being raised here most of my life, I mean, honestly, like I'm basically fully part of the bubble.
Yeah.
I was raised in the bubble. I moved here when I was like 2 years old.
Yeah.
So I've been here my whole life. So I don't remember much from like being in the UK, but I have that influence from my parents and my family. And so, with all of that, and then being raised in Utah my whole life, I was a part of that bubble as far as I can remember. And then going out on my mission and just seeing that big switch for me was just mind opening to me. And I've always been super interested in different people and talking to people. I've always loved just talking to people. It's always been something that I enjoy doing. But honestly, it's just the beauty of finding different stories and different relationships. Cause I've always kind of sought after more. Like I've always seen like what we have, and I've always felt like there's more to be added on. There's more that we can do with what we have. And I don't know. I've always been kind of like a go-getter. And so I've always tried to get out of my way and get out there and try to do different things with my life. And I feel like this is kind of a big part of like just what I like to do. I like to question things. I like to experience things. I like to see things. And so I've always tried to have an open mind towards everything. And it's just kind of my life experiences has really just helped me to do that, I guess.
Okay. I love that. I followed a lot of your content, the interviews you do with the different people.
Yeah.
Who is the most, I guess, interesting or exciting person you've interviewed?
Oh, wow. I don't know if I can pinpoint one exactly, but honestly, for me, it's always, I don't know how to say it without sounding like rude or anything, but like, it's always the oddballs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like my whole life, I've always loved hanging out with the oddballs, if that makes sense. And the thing is the oddballs aren't all that odd. They're in fact like the cooler people.
Yeah.
Like in high school, we always had like the nerds and then like the cool kids, you know? And as I got like, as I was going through school, I quickly realized that the cool kids were actually the weird kids, and the weird kids were actually the cool kids.
Yeah.
And so I always kind of just gravitated towards always the weird kids. And I found so much more fun with them. It was like more authentic relationships that I had with them.
Yeah.
And so for me, when it comes to like my interviews, I kind of look for that same kind of person, someone who I feel like is going to have an interesting perspective and an interesting story, because they don't open up their mouths often. Because sometimes that's just how it is. People like that don't tend to open up their mouths very often.
Yeah.
So when you give them the opportunity to do it, you can just see their eyes just light up. You can just see them just get like so excited, just like talk for a second. And it's amazing the things that they have to say.
Yeah.
Like they have some of the most amazing perspectives and amazing stories that come from them. And so I've had a few experiences when I was like walking around BYU and I'm interviewing some kids there. Typically they're a little bit odd, I guess. Uh-huh. And those people have always been some of the most amazing videos that I've made and opportunities I've had talking to people, just because of the difference that people get to see from them rather than the normal popular people, I guess, for lack of better words.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I've always, you know, when I first went into my podcast, in your mind, you're like, who are the biggest name influencers and people to bring on?
Right.
And then it's like, well, everyone has something that they can share and we can learn something from everyone. And so I started reaching out to different guests and varied guests and everything. And it's so cool to see, I guess, the way the conversation can flow.
Yeah.
And then you start learning things and then you just keep going and you're like, wow, this, I never expected it from this person.
You just build off people so much and you can learn from each other. That's why it's like my biggest thing is just open your mouth.
Yeah.
Just open up your mouth and start talking to somebody, because there's so much that you can learn from someone, so much conversation to be had, so much to just that could happen if you just simply open up your mouth.
Yeah.
So I love that, man.
Yeah. No, that's huge. I'm curious, because you up and coming entrepreneur, you have your content that you're doing. You said you have a company you've started with a buddy.
Mm-hmm.
What company is that?
So this, it's an app that I've been working on since the beginning of the year. It's like a health and wellness betterment app.
Okay.
What we do, it's called Peachy, and we work, B2B, and we go to different companies and we help them, influence their employees or their customers to better themselves in a certain way. So, you know, things like 75 hard, for instance.
Yeah.
Some company could make a challenge for their employees or for their customers, and they could be like, yo, we're going to do this challenge all together. And as we do it all together, it's like a real authentic and genuine way for the company to connect with their employers or their employees or their customers. And, they can better them while also bettering the company, because as their employees get better, their sales go up.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to reach the businesses and reach different people, so that way we can try to improve as much as we can everybody across the board. It all kind of came from an idea that I had, on my mission again, where we, I started to see a lot of my own generation, where everyone in my generation, I feel like, is on some sort of pill.
Yeah.
Because everybody's anxious, depressed, and I've been there too.
Yeah.
And when I went on those pills, I started realizing how much of my agency it was almost taking away,
mm-hmm.
and how much it really fogged my brain and really messed with me. And so I started to look for other alternatives. And in doing so, I found things like meditation.
Okay.
I found things like prayer. And I started to quickly realize that I had a spiritual, mental, or an emotional problem that I was curing with a physical drug. And it's like, that physical thing is not going to cure me.
Yeah.
I got to dig deeper.
Yeah.
And I got to find out what's really going on. And so I wanted to create something where we can help people better themselves. And so I came up with an idea to do like a wellness center or something.
Okay.
And then that idea, as I took it to my now business partner, we kind of slowly mutated that and turned that into what is now an app.
Okay.
And it's been going super well. We're super pumped on it. It's just,
is it officially launched?
Not yet. Okay. We've got two developers working on it for us right now.
Okay.
And we're just validating it still working on it. We're at the BYU grant system and they're helping us out with giving us mentorship, office space, and other things. So we're trying to kind of work with them and try to build off of what we have and kind of just keep making it better and better and better.
Are you guys at that spot in Provo?
iHub?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Well, we've been talking to them just recently. We're not officially in it yet. We're still kind of deciding, but yeah.
Okay. I met with the company over there and it was interesting to see
yeah.
all the new up and coming companies and ideas that people have.
They're cool.
I hope you don't mind. I want to dive into this because you touched on something that I think is huge. Mm-hmm. And I see it with a lot of the missionaries who've come back early is depression and mental health.
Yeah.
And it's something that I guess for men, they don't like to talk about. They don't like to address. We like to sweep it under the rug or, you know, keep it to ourselves. What was that experience like for you? And how did you, I guess, overcome it? Or how have you learned to cope with it?
Oh, another great question. I mean, coming home from the mission, as most missionaries experience, it's just a big shift. You go from waking up every day at 6:30, studying your scriptures every single day, and literally every day is about other people. You're teaching other people. You're talking to other people. Your whole days are planned around other people.
Yeah.
Just to come home and you no longer have a schedule. You don't have somebody by your side keeping you on your schedule. Everything becomes about yourself now. You're going to school for yourself. Mm-hmm. You're going to work for yourself, make money for yourself. And so there's like a big switch that happens. And then everything you just realize is like, oh crap, like I'm not the same person I was. And that sends a lot of people into a deep depression of sorts. And for me, it did a similar thing. And that time was hard, but it was some of the most crucial moments of my life. I think that moment is when I started to have a big shift in my mind where I went from this unmature young LDS kid to Reuben Bradshaw. And I'm going to take what I've learned from like the LDS church and I'm going to start to implement it and put it into my own practices. And I'm going to take what I know and do more with it. And so during that time, I started really going out of my way to talk to other people, find other people, find out who else was struggling and try to connect with them and figure out how they're dealing with it. And just kind of by getting out and experiencing things, I slowly started to like feel better.
Yeah.
And I realized that instead of just sitting on my own, sitting in my room on my phone, scrolling and just giving up because things are too hard, I'm going to go out, I'm going to try, I'm going to talk to people, I'm going to experience things. And as I experienced all those different things, I quickly saw like a shift start to happen.
Yeah.
And that's where I started to feel a lot better personally. But yeah, I don't know. It's kind of it's a hard subject because for everybody, it's so different and it's so unique to them.
Yeah.
Everyone's got their own reasons and experiences for why they've gone through it. But I think at the end, just keep looking to move on. Because I think life in general is all about these experiences. And as you search out these experiences, things are going to get in the way. Things are going to come up. But you got to learn to just let things happen because things are happening constantly.
Yeah.
Things come up. Kids are yelling. A car cuts you off. You get a bad text. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you got to let those things kind of just go through you instead of let them just affect you all the time.
Yeah.
And I get a lot of that from what I've learned from my meditation practices, where it's just like, it's the art of, in a way, just forgiveness. You just let things go all the time.
Yeah.
As things happen, you just let them go. And you just be present, you be there, but you let things happen. You let them go through you, and you don't let them affect you. You don't sit there, ponder, think about it, because as you think too much about it, you get anxious about the future, or you get depressed about the past.
Yeah.
And so you just got to let it go and let it off your chest.
Oh, I love that advice. I think that's huge because the biggest thing I think people don't realize is when you serve a mission, you have no bills.
Yeah.
There's no real responsibilities outside of just preaching the gospel
right.
and talking to people.
Right.
And then you come back and a lot of kids, you're going to college for the first time.
Right.
You're away from home for the first time.
Right.
You're going into the game of dating. There's all these things that happen.
Yeah.
And then it just hits you at once.
Yeah.
I mean, I came home and had to get a job and started classes at Utah Valley. And it was like one thing after another.
Right.
And for me, I think the biggest thing is finding a tribe or people that, like you said, you can talk to, you can relate to.
Absolutely.
But also it's people that you can have conversations with who aren't going to judge you.
Mm-hmm.
Cause that's the hard thing I've realized. And part of it's the Utah culture is that culture of judgment and, you know, the way they look at you. And, you know, I for years, I always had this thought in the back of my head, being black in Utah,
yeah,
I had to carry myself a certain way. I had to interact with people a certain way.
Yeah.
And recently I've come to the realization, it's like, why?
Right.
Either they're going to like you or they're not. And there's nothing you're going to do to change it. It's who you surround yourself with. And I tell people, if you don't like me, you don't have to be in my life. Like, I'm not forcing you. Right. But you know, if you want to be my friend, if you're someone who's in my circle, I will do anything for you.
Right.
And I will serve those people. Yeah. And so it's that big thing of finding a tribe, but also being comfortable in your skin.
For sure.
I'm curious for you, because you have a strong testimony. You served a mission, but you do have tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
Is that do people look at you differently with that? Are they like, why? Or you're like, this is just me?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, weirdly enough, sometimes, but I've had them for about a year and a half now. So it's come to the point where I kind of don't notice it as much. It's just kind of just a part of me. But when I first got them, I was so self-conscious about it.
Wearing long sleeves.
Uh-huh. And like when I would go over to friends' houses, I'd see their parents like glance down at my arm and look back at me. He's like, you returned from your mission how long ago? And I'm like, oh no. But I mean, yeah, I do sometimes see some of that. But to me, it's kind of the perfect story. It's like people will ask me about them all the time. And so it's so beautiful for me to be able to talk to people about what they mean to me.
Yeah.
And they all have a different story to me, and they all relate back to most of them, Jesus Christ, and what he's done for me in my life. And so it's a perfect segue for me to just talk to people about my life and about my experiences and to testify about Jesus Christ and how he has changed me. And so it's an amazing opportunity. But yeah, I do sometimes see a little bit of judgment towards it. But I'm not one to shy away from that, because I think that is one of the things that is just like, I don't know, it's something that I didn't agree with so much before. And now since they've kind of made the change in the strength of youth, where they don't really care as much about it, which I think is a great move. But I think it's just one of those things that just, you know, we need to see change.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, my biggest argument is always like, I never understand why they can allow people with mustaches but not beards.
Right.
I'm like, this dude looks like a pervert with that mustache. And just have a nice, clean, lined up beard.
Yeah.
But, so you know, true. as the church evolves and as society evolves, it's a church of growth and change.
Right.
And, you know, it's like when I was on my mission, did the whole age change.
Right.
So I'm a year out, and then suddenly they're like, hey, all these 18-year-olds from Utah, Idaho, Montana, you know, and being out there, I was like, this was the worst.
Yeah, all the young, immature.
Because we were out in the villages of Africa, didn't have electricity all the time, didn't have running water. Yeah. And you get the kids who, you know, they see what a mission is like, or they go to like the Provo MTC. And I'm like, guys, once you go to a foreign country, it is
so different,
not the same. Yeah. The people are different. The smells are different.
Yeah.
I mean, even when you get to Africa, just stepping off the plane, you just get this smell hits you.
Yeah.
And it's just such a different culture.
And it's different too, doing it by yourself. I noticed the exact same thing going on my mission too.
Yeah.
It's because I would say that my family is decently well traveled, and so we'll go out and travel, go to different places. And so I thought the mission was going to be easy in that way, because I was like, oh, I've seen the world, like I'll be fine.
Yeah.
But it's like when you get out there and it's just you and your companion and God, it's like, dude, that's a different story.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can do this. And so I 100% see that. And I think like a big part of like what we're talking about is this kind of bubble that evolves around Utah. And a lot of it comes from just a lack of different cultures being introduced into our society because of the judgment that we have towards other people who aren't the same way as us.
Yeah.
And so people with tattoos that come in, people who are black that come in, people who drink coffee or smoke or whatever. But it's like, bro, why are you going to sit here and judge a person who's over there drinking coffee when you're sitting here drinking like a huge thing of Red Bull?
Energy drink, bro.
Like it's in my opinion, I think worse.
Yeah.
What with all these swigs and whatever all around, it's like, bro, like we got to just like relax and just allow people to come in and allow people to just be different.
And we focus on the little things that aren't going to save you. Mm-hmm. And we forget about the big picture.
Exactly.
And I'm like, okay, lots of caffeine in the coffee, same thing in energy drink. But is that important at the end of the day?
Is that a commandment?
Yeah. And it's like, we get so focused on that. And I'm like, guys, we're missing the bigger picture.
100%.
We're missing the purpose of being here on earth. Is to make mistakes, is to learn, is to grow. If we were all perfect, we wouldn't be here.
Exactly.
For me, I had lived in Africa for 5 years of my life before going on my mission.
Uh-huh.
But when I still got there, I struggled because it's a different culture. It's a third world country. Mm-hmm. And about 6 months in, President Monson gave a talk, and the title was See Others as They May Become.
Yeah.
And the whole thing was, we don't need to look at people as they are at present, yeah. but as they can become and what they can grow into. That talk shifted my entire life because I started to look at people. I'm like, okay, here's how this person is, but they could grow into this amazing person. They could contribute to society, to the world, not just in the gospel sense, but they have value that they can give.
Yeah.
And so ever since then, I'll look at people because I'm the first person who will judge people like crazy. I'll see someone and I'll be like, you know, that person looks weird. But then I have to pull myself back and be like, I don't know their story. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they've experienced. I don't know what they've been. Yeah. And so it's interesting. And that's what I love about the platforms of podcasts is we get to talk to all sorts of people and give them a place to open up their mouths, like you said, and speak and share whatever they want to share. And some way, somehow, I feel like whatever they share, it always can apply to someone.
Mm-hmm.
And every time that video reaches 5 people or 1,000 people, there's someone who needs to hear it.
Exactly, bro. I mean, we all bleed red blood.
Yeah.
We are all the same in some way or another. We just got to open it up and just talk about it for a second because everybody's like living in their own world. My dad used to always tell me, he's like, Ruben, like, you think like the whole world revolves around you. And a big way, I think everybody in the world thinks the world revolves around their head because everybody is living their own world. Uh-huh. They perceive things differently. They perceive different people differently. Yeah. And so as we like just open up that conversation and just talk, like you can learn so much from people. It's incredible.
Yeah. No, it's huge. I mean, and the thing is we all judge at times. I mean, as soon as you're like, I'm from Alpine, went to Lone Peak.
It's
right. There's a million things that go through my head. I'm like, well, that means he's A, B, and C. And I'm like, okay, that could be true or also.
They're all true.
Hey, fair enough. He said it, not me. Go Knights.
Go Knights. LPOD.
So I'm curious, what is your, I guess if you had to say, here is, we don't know when God's going to call us back. We don't know when it's checkout time. Mm-hmm. But if you wanted to be remembered for one thing right now in your life, what would that be?
One thing. I would want to be remembered as probably as somebody who tried.
Okay.
Someone who gave it their full effort and gave everyone else a chance to. Because I think so much of what we do, people think we got to do it perfect.
Yeah.
We got to do it right the first try. But that is not the case. We have so many opportunities. And we have so much room for growth and change. So why are we judging everyone else around us so much? But more importantly, why are we judging ourselves?
Yeah.
I'm one of my biggest judges.
Yeah.
And sometimes I just got to relax and pull off. But everybody needs to try.
Yeah.
Everyone can't give up. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Uh-huh.
And every day, if you just simply hit the gym for like 5 minutes a day, slowly, the next day, maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah.
The next day, maybe 15. Maybe the next day you want to eat healthier because you want to make that workout worth it. You can slowly build and progress, but it just starts by starting.
Preach.
Yeah.
Preach. I love that. I you're so right. I mean, you know, New Year's happens and then people get on this gym kick and they're like, they go in for 2 hours and then after a week they're burnt out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, just start slow.
Yeah.
Go on a walk, then go walk on the treadmill. You don't have to jump in so hard. Take your time. Small steps lead to great distances. And I think it's true in fitness, in life, in religion, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'm curious, if you were not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, what religion do you think you would be?
Oh, geez. I really don't know. I think a big part of why I am LDS is because I was raised in it.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, if I was raised out in the South by Catholic parents, maybe I would have been Catholic. If I was raised in a Baptist family, maybe I would have been Baptist. But I think a big part of what I have learned over my last few years of life, which isn't very long, is that everybody's got their different views and perspectives of what God is and what he looks like. And everyone's got their different ways of doing it.
Yeah.
And I think personally that there's so much to gain from so many different people. I don't really see much of a point in putting a label on yourself as I am this.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. Maybe I'd be non-denominational.
That's an interesting thought process. I probably would be Baptist for the music.
Yeah.
And for the soul and get right. moving. I mean, I love our church, but some of the hymns, I'd just be like, being put to sleep. I was in Missouri 2 weeks ago and went with my buddy to his church.
Really?
And looking, and the drums were there yep. and the music. Yep. And I was like, so and then fun. It was like only 45 minutes and we were done.
Yeah.
I'm like, I could do this.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, just some of them hymns just be putting you to sleep.
So true. I loved those churches out there. And that's a big thing that a lot of people I feel like don't understand. As they feel like they can only feel the Spirit at this church. I feel the Spirit at every single church yeah. I've been to. Like those churches I was at in the South, I could feel the Spirit with all that music and all that yelling going uh-huh. on sometimes. I would feel the Spirit.
Yeah.
And so I think it depends more on how you perceive it and how you let it change and work on you. If you can let the Spirit in and let yourself learn something from it, you can learn something from wherever you're at.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's just, are you willing to listen to the message?
Yeah.
And I'm at a church that I've never been to before, but literally the message he was teaching on yeah. was the experience I had had the day before.
Really?
And I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, this man is talking to me. Right. I better. So as he kept going, I was like sitting forward in my chair
right.
and just soaking it in. I right. was just shocked. I'm like, okay, I was meant to be here on this day to hear that message.
Yeah.
What I kind of want to finish up this episode with is, with you being so young, I have a ton of buddies who are into the space of being entrepreneurs and getting started. And one of the things that I think blocks them is they're always worried about their age. I'm too young, so people won't accept me. I'm too young, so I can't reach out to businesses and, you know, they won't reply to me. Or if I DM someone on Instagram, because I'm so young, they don't want to reply. Mm-hmm. What would your message be or advice be to someone who's young and trying to get started?
Oh, dude, just keep going. It gets better. I mean, I've always had an entrepreneur kind of mindset towards everything. When I was younger, I started up a few smaller things. Like I used to make kendamas in middle school and I'd sell them to kids. I used to make fidget spinners out of wood and I'd sell them to kids.
Interesting.
I even had like a hammock business that I started up. And I've always had that kind of mindset that if you want it, you can get it.
Yeah.
And so nothing really kind of, I think to anyone else out there, like don't let the outside perspectives or views of what you think other people are going to see you as affect anything. Because in fact, sometimes that's your biggest tool.
Yeah.
Because more often than not, when I go pitch my idea to an older person who I have no business being in the room with, they love that I'm trying and they love to see my effort. And who knows, maybe one of the ideas sometime is going to be good enough that they'll choose to invest in you and they'll choose to help you out. But just don't give up and keep trying, because you never know what you're capable of until you open up your mouth and get out there and just try.
Yeah.
Don't let anyone tear you down.
Yeah, no, I love that. I think the only other thing I'd add on to that is I feel like the younger generation versus the older generation,
yeah.
one of the biggest keys is you were born with a cell phone in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
The older generation was not. Mm-hmm. And so there's a disconnect on a level that you can teach them.
For sure.
And that they can teach you from what they know. And it's grasping and filling in the gaps of, hey, here's where they're struggling. Here's what they don't know.
Yeah.
Here's where I can bring you up to speed.
Yeah.
And then when they start to see, oh, hey, both of us have something to offer, it changes the way that relationship is.
100%.
And then it opens doors to who knows what happens.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, well, brother, thank you so much for joining me.
Of course.
If people want to follow you and see your interviews, where can they find you?
You can find me on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. It's just Reuben Bradshaw, R-E-U-B-E-N, Bradshaw with two W's. You can find me on any platform with that exact same username. Or you can look up for my podcast. That's We're Oblivious. That's W-E-R-E-O-B-L-I-V-I-O-U-S. Sometimes people don't know how to spell that. But just any of all platforms, those are both my usernames. And you can find my stuff anywhere. My podcast is on all platforms, Spotify, Apple, Google, YouTube, wherever you want to find it.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Thank you, brother.
Of course.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it, man.
Of course.
Thank you for tuning in to Man on the Mic. We appreciate you spending your time with us today. Remember, our podcast is available on all platforms, so you can listen anytime, anywhere. Be sure to subscribe and stay updated. New episodes drop every week. Until next time, keep the conversation going. And as always, stay true to yourself. Thanks for watching.